Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcast by me, veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
A group of researchers at the Waltham Center for Pet Nutrition did a series of experiments to try to pin down feline food preferences. As you might expect, this is a topic that is of great interest to those who manufacture and sell cat foods, and I would like to think also for those who cook for their cats. What the researchers wanted to know was how much of a role the smell of the food played compared to the food's composition. The first thing they did was to give a group of cats three food choices. One was rabbit-based, one was fish-based, and one was orange-based. As you might expect, the fish-based food was the most preferred, followed by the rabbit-based food, with the orange coming in last. This would seem to support that it's the aroma of the food that attracts the animal. However, the researchers then started changing the composition of the food. They discovered that one part protein to 0.4 parts fat was the most palatable ratio for many cats. In fact, if they put this ratio in the orange-flavored food, the cats would preferentially eat that and ignore the rabbit and fish. When I was reading about these experiments, it dawned on me that when we're talking about nutrition and feeding in cats, we're actually talking about three distinct populations. One population is the strict house or laboratory cat. Animals who are totally dependent on humans for their food. A second group is composed of the in and outdoor cats like my cat Bamboo. The food is there, but he also supplements by hunting. Or maybe in his mind, the dry food is supplemental to the hunt. I haven't decided about this yet. I do know from years of observing him and my other cats that he seems to use a strategy similar to that used by hunting groups of lions or African wild dogs, in that he seems to decide what he's going to hunt before he goes outside. Only rather than making this decision based on input from other members of his feline group, if he wants to go out, he goes to the door and either sits there patiently or sometimes yowls at me. And then when I head toward the door, he immediately runs, jumps up on the counter, and looks in his food bowl. He doesn't eat anything. He just checks what's there. And then he goes out. And when he hunts, sometimes he eats his entire prey. Other times he only eats select parts of it. This got me thinking about what the protein to fat ratio is in your average field mouse. And then I realized I wouldn't have a clue how to figure that out, because I would think it depends on what the field mouse is eating and how much of the field mouse the cat was eating too. And then our third population of cats relative to nutrition are the wild cats, the feral cats. And if they're anything like Bamboo, they hunt for different foods on different days and eat different amounts of different ones. It just all depends. So the question regarding what stimulates the cat's appetite in the in and outdoor cat world and in the outdoor cat world is a completely different question than asking that same question regarding the strict house cat. So now we do know that in strict house cats, the magic number is one part protein to 0.4 parts fat. Now, would this be true if you, for example, adopted a former free-roaming feral cat or a barn cat? Would their preferences be the same? I don't know. I'm trying to decide whether I want to even guess. And I've come to the conclusion I don't want to guess. I don't even want to guess because there are just too doggone many variables involved. And please don't run out to your grocery store or ask your veterinarian where you can get some of this great orange-flavored cat food. It's not out there. It's not ever going to be out there. This was just done to determine which was more important, the aroma of the food or the relationship between the amount of protein in it and the amount of fat. But still, it did show that whether they spend all their time inside someone's house or in a laboratory or in and out like bamboo or outside all the time like a free-roaming cat, when it comes to figuring out what they need to eat to survive, they're a lot smarter than we often give them credit for.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Katova Arts, www.katova.com.